At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
New York Yankees letting me down. I needed five runs. I got four. They had multiple chances to get it. They didn't. That's just the way it ends up here. But make no mistake about it. We're going to turn that torch on it today. But we have a lot of hot topics to get to before we get into the Major League Baseball card, which we'll try to get through so many games that we possibly can. And by the way, in baseball today, we have a game that is going to start at 1 o'clock, Cabrera versus Littell. That's the Marlins and the Rays, the battle of the state of Florida outdoors. Heat and humidity at 1 o'clock on a Friday. Love to see that here. Aaron Schoen's in the chat box. If you want to get into the chat box, how do I find the chat box, Donnie? It's easy. Sports Grid On Demand. It's our YouTube channel. You go there, you type in Sports Grid, one word, on second word, demand as the third word. You jump in here, you say hello, which Vic Ferrari is doing as well in here. So come and say hello if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 159. Thank you for doing that. SportsGridRadio.com or even the Sports Grid app, the best app in the sports business, and away you get down. It's your boy DRS. I'm rocking, I'm rolling today, and I'm feeling good. But yesterday, we got to talk about the NBA, don't we? I got to tell you, like, just bouncing around, watching a lot of Major League Baseball yesterday. Also, Amazon Prime had The Accountant 2. Popped that on the TV. Was enjoying that for myself as well. Francisco says hello also in the chat box. And I'm saying, all right, you know me from yesterday. I loved the Oklahoma City Thunder. So now I'm going to buy into this. Public's going to be heavy up here on Indy. Week off. I don't know if they'll be able to win this basketball game, Indiana. So I think that OKC is going to win this and win by double digits. But I also said that I do think that a 15-point win is in tail here, or in trail, I should say, for OKC. But I would not be surprised if, like, Indiana doesn't cover, but they win the game outright. Like, I thought there was two ways to go about it. And it worked last night. Indiana won outright. But I thought the Thunder would win that game. I also thought Tyrese Halliburton would stay under 17.5 points, and he did. He only scored 14 points yesterday. Now, here's the interesting part about that, too, is because I pretty much fell asleep early third quarter. This game's a wrap. I think I'm probably going to get the cover. Halliburton not having a great game so far. So I'm pretty much in the mood to make some money. So I go to sleep and I wake up, and the first thing I check when the alarm goes off is, I wonder who won that basketball game last night. So I go to ESPN and I just see the headline, like, Halliburton does it again. I'm like, oh my God. Like, did Halliburton go off in the second half, like 25 plus points and just carried them down the stretch? Not necessarily. He only scored 14 points, hit that big jumper with 0.3 seconds left to lift them to their advantage, their first lead of the game. But he only scored 14 points, which was good. So it's odd that I got the split. It's like, maybe Halliburton gets 20, but we still cover the 10 points here as a 9.5 point favorite for OKC. And that wasn't the case. So even like thinking about ways of betting the series, like before game number one, I don't want to lay minus 750, minus 700 as a series price on the Oklahoma City Thunder. But how can I say, you know what? They're not going to lose game number one. Money line, which I didn't bet this, but this is the way we were thinking yesterday on the early line. Money line, game number one. For OKC, and also OKC to win the series. Drop that 750 to minus 700 down to a minus 290 price. Still, again, expensive, right? Rye Capes in here, loving stuff here. having some fun, talking off topics here, which we'll start with OKC. I just don't get it, though, right? Like, man, they have to win game number one. They lost it. And by the way, 19, 20 turnovers, whatever it was in the first half for Indiana, down double digits to the break, to then win the third quarter by 3 points and the fourth quarter by 10 points, which included a 15-point comeback in the fourth quarter alone. What to make of this series? Because now as I start to set it up, I say, sometimes when you have two teams that face each other, you don't really know what's going to happen. You know OKC is absolutely dominant. Best team in the NBA, most wins, seven-game series against Denver, but the first-round series and the Western Conference Finals, really easy series is for OKC. What are we going to get out of the Pacers? Again, not a lot of hype in the regular season, get to the playoffs, beat a team that they probably should have beaten in the Milwaukee Bucks. But then they're saying, all right, here's the immovable object, number one overall seed, that's Cleveland. Now, yes, Cleveland was a little bit banged up, easily dispatched to them. Then took on the New York Knicks, who were the favorite in that series and had home court advantage, handled them in six games. So we knew they were good. And congratulations if you were the betting public yesterday saying, you know what, Donnie? Handicapping aside, that's too many points, I'm going to take it. You were right. And maybe you should have took a money line price there of a plus 400 or plus 450, whatever it might have been at game time yesterday. But now as we look towards Sunday's game, you get a decompression day on a Friday, you then move into a Saturday, and then you have that Sunday night telecast. It's like, what could actually happen at this point? Where could we go here? What is going to happen? Because you're still getting the algorithm spitting out heavy favorited scenarios here for OKC. Game opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook the minute it ended yesterday, minus 11 as a favorite toward OKC. Some outlets here, odd 11 across the board. There were 11 and a half this morning, but now also, as I'm seeing, BetMGM here in New Jersey is down to 10.5. So the thought press behind it, like, hey, Donnie, they got it wrong game number one, and they're giving you a free layup again for game number two. Maybe you just take it. But for my money, I understand the consequences for OKC. If they lose, is the series over? No, it's only a 2-0 series deficit. We lost two games on your home court, which means you can expect Indiana to win one of games three or not game number four, which means then you just have to rip off four straight victories against them to win it, essentially. Like, right, let's just say Indiana wins game number three, Oklahoma City wins game number four. That's 3-1 series lead, which means you have to win games 5, 6, and 7 to win the NBA championship. And that's probably not going to happen. But what is your approach out there for the betting public for game number two? Is it a freebie layup? They're getting Indiana Pacers and everything is good out here. Kristen Hess also checks into the chat box out here. Like, where are we going with this? What are your vibes after game number one? That's the intriguing part because we didn't really know what heading into it was. Heavy favorite one side, underdogs fighting on the Pacers, both teams coming in healthy, a lot of extra days to get ready. Rick Carlisle's a great head coach, and it turned out to be great because you had 19 turnovers. You should have been down 25 points at the end of the first half. So now I look at it, and I was talking to Ben on the early line the same way. When I start to look at game number two, it wasn't if the Indiana Pacers guys really had to lay the wood and say, damn it, we shot 70% as a team from the floor, 55% from three-point range, turned it over two times. We won by 1 point here because we hit a late jump shot with 0.3 seconds. That wasn't the case. Like, Rick Carlisle can sit in front of his team and say, guys, you played possibly the worst you could possibly play and still came away with a victory. That's impressive. Guys, let's hunker down in game number two and just take care of the basketball. We can beat Oklahoma City for the second straight night. And maybe me, and not so many other people, were downgrading the Pacers and what they could possibly do against OKC. Because not only can OKC score, they are unbelievable on defense. And that turned rightfully true. 20 turnovers in the first half. You're not going to see that again out of the Pacers. They're not going to have 20 turnovers for the entire game. Matter of fact, if they dip it down to 10, 11, or 12 turnovers, that wouldn't surprise you, even though how good Oklahoma City is on defense. Almost 20 more shot attempts by Oklahoma City, and they lost that game. That's outrageous. But for me, I already have the bet in for Sunday night. -6.5, first half for Oklahoma City. I expect them, just like game number one, to be up double digits by game number two at the half, and I expect a victory out of OKC, and I'm hoping now that we get at least a six-game series in the NBA Finals between the Pacers and the Thunders. I would absolutely love that. A total, which opened up lower, game number one was in that 230 range, 227.5. We'll see if that does increase. Let's get to more hot topics, which include Aaron Rodgers and then a full Major League Baseball card handicapping. It's Friday. It's Moneyline. It's your boy DRS. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Somebody say Aaron Rodgers. The waiting game is over, and like I said on the early line this morning with Ben Stevens, hey now, the worst-kept secret is now finally not a secret. And Aaron Rodgers has signed a contract, or will be signing a contract today, after his physical with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There was no way the Pittsburgh Steelers were heading into training camp and or the regular season with Mason Rudolph as their frontline starter. We knew it was going to be Aaron Rodgers, just didn't know when he's going to show up. So he should be in town for OTAs, which is a good thing for the Steelers. But the question is, how much does that actually move the needle and what happens next? Now, when we're looking at Aaron Rodgers heading to the Steelers, and again, coming from an angle of, it's not a surprise, like when I saw that yesterday, Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with the Steelers. Wow. Whoa. No, nobody thought about that. We knew he was probably going to go there and or retire. But the fact that the Steelers hadn't made any moves in the quarterback position here necessarily to be a starting quarterback worth any part of the salt, we knew it was going to be Aaron. But here's the question now. It's a one-year contract that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign. The interesting part for me is not that Aaron Rodgers is now a Steeler. What is he getting paid for that 1 year? What do the incentives look like? Like we were talking about this morning, Russell Wilson to the Giants. Now, granted, Russell Wilson, to me, even now, is not as good a quarterback as Aaron Rodgers is. So expect the compensation to be higher than, let's just say, $10 million guaranteed and $5 or $6 million if you win playoff games, win MVP, and or a Super Bowl, right? But I do want to see what Aaron Rodgers did sign for. Because typically when you're going to sign a bigger deal, you want to sort of massage that salary cap by making it like a 2 or 3 year deal with some escape clauses. If it truly is a 1 year contract, what is it though? Like what brought him to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because this wasn't his first choice. His first choice was actually to go to Minnesota and maybe like say, hey, JJ McCarthy, step aside at this point, right? I don't know. But that's where he wanted to go and held off for the longest time until Minnesota forcibly had to tell him, no, JJ McCarthy is the future of our franchise, and that's the way we're going to do it. But when we look at Aaron Rodgers now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that money coming in late here to OTAs, trying to rescue the organization. But having said that, like we looked at some of the numbers today, right? Pittsburgh's win total on the season is listed at 8.5. To miss the playoffs is the favorite here at a minus 188. To win the AFC North, which again, you're going to have to battle with the Cleveland Browns, which don't expect them to be very good this year. The Cincinnati Bengals, we expect that offense to be elite and the defense to be terrible. And then the Ravens, who are always a very, very good regular season team. As long as Lamar Jackson is healthy, of course, they're going to be the favorites. 5-1 price to win that division. The AFC title at 21-1. And now to win the Super Bowl at a 43-1 price. Let's be realistic. Like with Aaron Rodgers signing with the Steelers, you look at the 43-1, like, ooh, that's intriguing. But is it really, though? We know they're going to have above-average defense. It's what they do. Great pass rush, fortify that in the draft, some good playmakers in the secondary. The offense, DK Metcalf comes over from the Seattle Seahawks. You lose George Pickens, you trade him down to Dallas. Jaylen Warren's going to be your lead dog in the backfield. You draft a young, you know, pretty possibly good kid out of Iowa to sort of supplant Najee Harris in the backfield as well. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, but is he going to be there the whole season? That's the question. Because in order for the Pittsburgh Steelers to make the playoffs, I do believe Aaron Rodgers has to play well and play at a high level for at least 15 games next year, which means if he misses a game or two, maybe Mason Rudolph can come in and sort of keep things even keel out there, maybe pick up a victory, keep the offensive moving. I get that. But the one thing I can't sort of get through here is when we look at Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers is how good the start to the season should be for them. Like if their win total is 8.5, which means Mike Tomlin, who all he does is have winning seasons, doesn't win very much anymore in the playoffs or making a playoff push or winning a Super Bowl, but he will win regular season games. He's got a better quarterback this year than he had last year. I don't care what Justin Fields' record was when he was 4-2 as a starter. He wasn't playing all that well. Russell Wilson came in, looked okay, and then faded down the stretch. But now you take a look and say, all right, game number one, which the NFL never misses. at the Jets, 1 p.m. start. I can't wait to watch that game play out. That's going to be fun. But to be honest, I do think the Pittsburgh Steelers probably should win that game if Aaron Rodgers, again, is in camp and he's healthy, which is the anticipation now. Game number two, home against the Seahawks. What are the Seahawks doing? Breaking in a new quarterback. Again, Sam Darnold's not a rookie. He is a veteran, but still a new quarterback on a team that seems to be in some sort of a rebuild at this point. Game number three, at the Patriots on the road. That's Drake May. We expect improvement from the Patriots. You actually have a real head coach this year. And also, you spent a lot of money in free agency to improve that offense and some key players on defense and some key players on offense. Game number four is at home against the Vikings. That's supposed to be J.J. McCarthy. Not a rookie, but didn't play at all in his rookie season. And he will have a couple games under his belt before he gets in there. But that's a road start for a young quarterback in the NFL. That'll be a tough spot. Game number five, Cleveland Browns at home. Actually, you know what? Hold on here. That 9:30 game is not at home. I apologize. That is overseas. So I missed the time on that one. So it's not a home game. Makes it a little bit tougher for the Steelers. But I still give the nod to the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point. Jordan P's in here having some fun. Francisco's having some fun. Everybody check it in the chat box. Thanks for doing that as we hit quickly here on the Aaron Rodgers saga now winding up in Pittsburgh. But if you're taking a look at the Vikings, the Browns, and the Bengals, that means, actually, you know what? Let's exclude the Bengals. First five games. Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, Vikings, and Browns. I know it's hard to do this before the season, how we see everything play out. But that sounds like a legitimate possibility of 4-1 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, the Patriots will be better. That's a road game. The Vikings, we'll see what they have with J.J. McCarthy, but they have some pretty good pieces around it and a good coaching staff, and that's a neutral site game. The Browns, I don't expect much out of, and that game is a home game for the Steelers. Seahawks will be okay, but that's a home game for the Steelers. So maybe you do get a pretty good punch from the Jets in game number one. Don't really know what to expect, and also the fact that Justin Fields is the starting quarterback there for the New York Jets might throw that game a little bit higher elevation for the Jets side. That might be a 4-1 start. And that might be all you need because you do start to get the tougher teams and the tougher games in the middle of the schedule. I get it. But so much you will know about the Steelers. If they're just a competent football team, they should be 5-1. If they're going to be an okay football team, maybe make the playoffs, 3-2 at worst. If they're 2-3 or less to start the season, it is going to be a horrendous season for the Pittsburgh Steelers that might cost Mike Tomlin his job. But for me, next thing I'm waiting for, it's not Aaron Rodgers showing up to camp, training camp, or OTAs. Let me see what the financials are, people. What did he get signed for by the Pittsburgh Steelers? What does that warrant? Is it 10, 15, 20, $25 million plus incentives? Hopefully we find out sooner than later. But you know what we're going to find out next? That Major League Baseball card is hot on a Friday, and I'm ready to get the handicapping started. Right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's that part of the program we love right now, right? It's getting after it. It's Major League Baseball. It's a full slate on a Friday, and it's time to absolutely win some money. But I do take a look at the chat box here. Rye Cape said, DRS, what's wrong with Luzardo? Is he tipping his pitches? I don't know what he's doing, but every single person in that lineup yesterday for the Toronto Blue Jays was cracking Luzardo, and that goes for that game. The previous games before that looked like the Phillies stole him off the scrap heap for some light work, and it's like, you know what? Maybe the jig is up for him at this point, and he's just not that good of a pitcher. He's been absolutely brutal, even tried like cornrows, I believe, yesterday to try to throw some things off after giving up so many runs in his previous starts. He got crushed yesterday. Absolutely crushed. Now, let's get after it. Let's have some fun. Let's see what the deal is. We have a 1 o'clock game coming up. We'll get to that. Plenty of time today to do it. But I do want to focus on the pitchers that we're going to be fading here on the card, XFIP wise. And there's a lot of them that we can certainly get into it with. If we take a look at some of the numbers that you like, because usually it's a full season, which I have those statistics for, but I usually like to focus more on the last 30 days and then really get into a pitcher's, let's just say, you know, XFIP splits to lefties and righties, home and away. We can do all that. But let's get the general numbers out here. And from that perspective, you want to see at least a 4.50 XFIP number or higher. ERA sort of gives you that base, but we want that XFIP number here. And you're right out there, Aaron. What's up with the bird sounds? Yeah, I don't know what that was. It seems like I'm in the jungle over here trying to make my way around them. Like, yeah, it's handicap games. Watch out for the tiger. Watch out for the rhino. I don't know what zoo we were at, but it's definitely a zoo when your boy DRS is handling the Major League Baseball action. So let's go ahead and get after it here. So 4.50 or higher, Walker Buehler of the Boston Red Sox through 13 innings, 4.85 ERA, 4.58 xFIP number. Kyle Hendricks of the Los Angeles Angels, 28 and a third innings pitched, a 5.40 ERA and a 4.58 xFIP number. Antonio Senzatella is going to be a popular pick to fade today, no doubt about it. The Cleveland Rockies pitcher in Colorado, 23 and two-thirds innings pitched here over the past month. How about a 9.51 ERA, but a 4.80 xFIP, almost half of that, which is kind of incredible when you line that up. Logan Allen of the Cleveland Guardians, 17 and two-thirds innings pitched, a 4.58 ERA, matched up with a 4.84 xFIP number. Bailey Falter going up against the Philadelphia Phillies today, 28 and two-thirds innings pitched. How about his ERA, people? An 0.63, but the xFIP number is a 4.93. You're not going to get a bigger discrepancy than that because you might think that he might be the best overall pitcher on the card today, which includes Eric Skubal, because that ERA is under one. He's due to get hit. The question is, the Phillies ain't looking right at the plate right now. Do they absolutely get hits today? I don't know. Bailey Ober of Minnesota, we'll be in on him today, trust me. A 3.09 ERA, which you might like through his 23 and a third innings pitched. But how about his xFIP number, guys? 5.06. Bryce Miller of Seattle. Now, he's only got 9 innings pitched over the past 30 days. It's hard to really judge that. A high xFIP number of 5.09, maybe we leave him out. J.P. Sears, a guy that we've looked at for years. How about that, Ron, with the Athletics? He's through his 22 and one-third innings pitched over the past month. How about an ERA of 8.87 and a 5.60 xFIP number? Eduardo Rodriguez of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, granted, again, only 6 and two-thirds innings pitched over the past month, a 13.5 ERA, and a 6.27 xFIP number. So, those are some of the pitchers that we're going to take a look at to see if we can fade. But again, I just can't get over like Bailey Falter. Damn near unhittable per se, right? With an ERA of 0.063, but an xFIP of close to 5. That's a fun one. That's an interesting one to sort of handicap at this point. So let's take a look and start off with the early games from the card. Now let me just set this up here and get my odds boards ready to go. And that's Cabrera and Littell. That's Miami and Tampa Bay. That game will get started at 1:10. So roughly 10 minutes after we get off the show. An hour and 10 minutes, I apologize, after we get off the show. Heavy favorite for Tampa Bay at 175 at the opening number. That's crashed down to around a 135 at some outlets, including BetMGM. The total in this game, 9.5, dropping to 9. Weather conditions, only 60 degrees. No, come on now. See, I got the wrong numbers up here. Weather conditions in Tampa, 88, baby. And the wind blowing out. Can we find something in this game or not? Find out next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're just loving the environment, you probably want to take a stab here at that Miami-Tampa Bay game. But again, outside of the pitching matchups, which I don't really like all that much, you have a pretty good-looking lineup today, to be honest, from the Miami Marlins. Xavier Edwards, Jesus Sanchez, Kyle Stowers, Otter Lopez, Connor Norby, Liam Hicks, all really good numbers with weighted on-base percentages and some of those with ISO power numbers on a day that's going to be 88 degrees at first pitch. That's going to be hot. And Littell hasn't been great over the past 30 days, but he hasn't been terrible. 33 and two-thirds innings pitch. How about an ERA of 2.94, but an xFIP of closer to 4? Where do you lean on that one? Because if you're just fading like weather conditions yesterday, you probably did yourself very well. Edward Cabrera for the Miami Marlins on the line, on the mound, he's sixth overall out of 29 pitchers on the card today, past 30 days with xFIP numbers at a 3.23. Some good looking, like honestly, Josh Lau, Brandon Lowe, I believe it is, Lowe and Lau, high ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentage against righties. Aranda, high weighted on base percentage against righties. Caminero, Mangum, Tice, Caballero. That's a pretty good looking lineup too. So if you're just fading today, by the way, what is that price point for the total in that game? It's 9 across the board at most spots. 9.5 is the opening number, so drop down a little bit. Low K rates here. It's again, there's no handicap behind it, but it just looks like sometimes I want to say like, ooh, man, ballpark small, gives up a lot of home runs there typically. 88 degree temperatures, wind blowing out at almost double digits. Like, where do I sign up? But I'm just going to pass on this game because I just want to stick with the statistics that I like. But for an afternoon game, that's as good a weather conditions you're going to get anywhere coupled with that ballpark. We'll see how it turns out. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh tonight. Let's get to that game. Ross versus Falter. So Ross getting one of those spot starts for the Philadelphia Phillies. They were favored around that minus 150 price. That's dropped around minus 135 at most outlets. As low out in Vegas, looks like the Westgate has it at a minus 129. So really crashing down. The total in this game opened up at 9, still sits at 9. That's not a surprise. Now, Joe Ross on the season, 125 batters faced. Right-handed batters are cracking him. Left-handed batters still getting the best of him, too, even over his last 23 at-bats to lefties here. Here's the problem. Who do you go with, though? Is it just, and I say this every day, like, who do you go with? It's O'Neill Cruz and nobody else, because the whole lineup stinks every day, it feels like. So if you're taking an RBI prop today, you better just be taking O'Neill Cruz. Over 1.5 bases, 2 base hits, whatever it might be, he seems to be the only guy that you can trust at all in that entire lineup. Now, the Philadelphia Phillies going up against Bailey Falter. Here's the interesting numbers on Falter, right? He's 25 of 29 on card today with his xFIP number. But he's by far the best pitcher ERA-wise. And that's not like, hey, Donnie, well, he's had a good start. He pitched 6 2/3 innings pitched and didn't give up a run. That's why his ERA is so low. Like, no. He's had 28 2/3 innings pitched over this past month and a .63 ERA. But that xFIP number should get him in trouble. Here's the problem. If you look at the Philadelphia Phillies, you're only going to look at 3 batters in this lineup, and maybe 4. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, and Kyle Schwarber. All really high ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages against left-handed pitching. But again, here's the problem. Falter, ISO power number against for the last month, an 0.32. Weighted on base percentage against for the last month, a 2.06. Like, he's been dealing. So let's dig deeper, guys. Why don't we do that? Let's bring up Bailey Falter's statistics, because I want to check to see if there's something we can read into, because there's a reason why that xFIP number is high and the ERA is low. So let me bring up his splits over at FanGraphs. To lefties on the season, 64 total batters, a .365 weighted on base percentage. That's really high. To right-handed batters, he's faced 194 of those. That's a .245 weighted on base percentage. See the splits there? And a left-handed pitcher typically gets out lefties and not righties, if you will. This is a complete opposite, so we'll check into that. At home this year, which he will be in PNC, which is really a good pitcher's ballpark, and understand this. We haven't had great hitting conditions in Pittsburgh, particularly throughout the Northeast or the North, let's just say the Eastern Seaboard, which again, I do include Pittsburgh in. .227 weighted on base percentage against. That's phenomenal. On the road, it's elevated to a .332, which isn't terrible. It is slightly above average. Home versus lefties. He's faced 35 batters. That's a .383 weighted on base percentage. Do you know what it is to righties, guys? It's a .173. There's your discrepancy. And even if we look at the road, his road splits, away to lefties is still a .342. So he's a left-handed pitcher still struggling with lefties. You take a look in the month of March and April, 30 1/3 innings pitched. You know what his weighted on base percentage against was? It was .353. Do you know what it is throughout the month of May? It was .203. That dropped significantly. Let's take a look now at the splits between the xFIP numbers between lefty batters and right-handed batters. Because why? Bailey Falter might walk you a little bit too much, but he doesn't strike you out. So when a ball is in play, that's a chance for damage to be done. On the season, to lefties, how about a 5.10 xFIP number? To righties, it's 4.50. If we take a look at the home splits here, home versus lefties, 5.44 xFIP number. So for me, if you're looking from a Phillies perspective and say, Donnie, I want to trust the analytical numbers as opposed to the ERA numbers, this is your chance to do it. And it would be from the left-hand side. Like, I know Trey Turner's probably been the Phillies' best hitter over the past month or so. But Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber should actually be your focus here. Because if you're not striking him out, maybe you're giving enough fly ball percentages there to left-handed batters, there's a chance that a home run could be hit. Because also, as I told you, weather conditions have been cooler here on the eastern side of things. Pittsburgh now a little bit warmer today, 73 degrees with a light wind blowing out. It is a true pitcher's ballpark. But if there's any options, I'm not saying I'm going with Trey Turner and or Bryce Harper in this game. Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. But that's where I'd be looking. Almost all lefties in this game, right? O'Neill Cruz. And then you would take a look here at a couple guys for the Phillies in Harper and Schwarber. Now let's get back to the other side. Because Joe Ross doesn't have a lot of statistics over the past 30 days. Let me see his numbers on the season. because the Phillies starting him as a spot starter, as they still wait for like Aaron Nola and such to get back into the rotation. They want to have a six-man rotation. I understand all that. But let me see his game log. Let's see how it built out. Let's see. Go ahead. Game log. Last time he was on the mound was only for an inning. So this is really going to be a bullpen game then for the Philadelphia Phillies, which, you know, the Phillies bullpen hasn't been very good at all. This is tough. X-Man, by the way, says, Donnie, I hit last night. Give a shout out to my boy. Will he be getting? Who's getting married? Put it out there. I'll give him a shout out in a second. Shout out to Will. Big Will's out there getting married today. Now, what music are we playing? Let's Get Married? Little Jagged Edge? Like, what else is out there? Like, how are we getting down at this marriage? We got the DJ. We got the band. We got the boys all together. Let's get married. That's the chat box set. It's what we do. Thanks for tuning into the chat box, by the way. Love the people out there getting down with their business. But as we go through a Major League Baseball Friday into this weekend, we're going to make some money. Now, let's get back to Mr. Ross here on the mound. So if we have a bullpen game for the Philadelphia Phillies, it's the hardest handicap to have because you know it's going to start with a righty. Does it go to a lefty? And how do they match up? But if we take a look at versus righties, as I said, this season, not even this season, excuse me, the past 30 days for Pittsburgh, it doesn't hold well. If you look at all, which means it opens up things to O'Neill Cruz, who's always there, lefty or righty, Andrew McCutchen at 323 weighted on base percentage, Brian Reynolds at a 322, Alexander Canario, 337, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, 369. Like, sometimes I get mad at myself when I do this. Like, I really want to take like a team total for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They stink at the plate. But if the Phillies are throwing a bullpen game with a guy that's not all that good to start the game, I got to see the mindset here. I got to see the mindset here with Joe Ross and what they're going to get out of the Phillies. It's probably a no-go for me either way, but we went over some RBI props that make some sense, and I don't know if the Phillies win today. I don't. Like, Falter is due to get hit, but the Phillies are notorious for letting a slop lefty get the best of them at that point here. Yeah, Jagged Edge is a forgotten band. Need to bring that back. You know, music from like 95 to 2002, fantastic stuff. Open bar tonight. That's what you need, man. That's what you need. Never trust a wedding, people. You go, it's a cash bar. That ain't right. Open bar. Let the people relax. Get them top shelf out there. You got the Hennessy flowing. You got the Jack Daniels flowing. You got the Grey Goose flowing. Come on, man. People want to get busy down there. We don't want to have the fake stuff. Get the good stuff. Top shelf, which is what you get from Moneyline. More baseball coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're in the chat box right now. Is it true also the X-Man's birthday's out here? Just shout out to myself, the X-Man. It's a great day, my birthday. Let's get money. Absolutely. That's the way to do it, man. You get a wedding with an open bar and also... you get some action today on your birthday. Good stuff. X-Man out there. Chat box popping alive. If you want to join the chat box, have some fun with everybody in there. Sports Grid On Demand on our YouTube channel. Get in there. Watch it live. Have some fun and share your topics, your conversations, and your intuitions here. By the way, talking about that Phillies game, I don't know if I'm going to play it, but boy, it is intriguing for Pittsburgh today, who actually is an underdog at about a plus 115 price. Two pitchers that can you trust? Falter's been tremendous with the ERA, due to get hit. Is it a Schwarber day? Is it a Harper day? Is it a lackluster day like you saw yesterday from the Philadelphia Phillies? We'll find out. 6:45 tonight, though, Texas and Washington. Corbin versus Soroka. That's from the nation's capital. 6:45 start. 9 across the board with totals. About a 125, 120, depending on shopping as a favorite towards Texas. Now, granted, Corbin, this is a road start, but he's pitched a lot of innings in Washington. And quite frankly, a lot of bad innings. However, this year, you know he hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs in any start that he's had? Now, his numbers aren't tremendous. Last start, 5 1/3 innings pitched, 2 earned runs. Before that, 5 1/3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. Before that, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. Before that, 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. See where we're going? He's giving you a steady effort, and I don't love the lineup today for the Texas Rangers. If we go over and take a look at, from Corbin pitching against the Nationals, I should say, but I was just saying, from a perspective of the Texas Rangers batters today going against Soroka, it's not a good feel here for this game. But you do have good temperatures down in D.C., 82 degrees, light wind blowing out to left. If I'm looking at any batters going up against Corbin, probably going to be a right-handed batter. Amad Rosario, again, only 14 at-bats for him over the past 30 days against lefties. He's got a 462 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 662. You know I love my guy James Wood, and he crushes left-handed pitching. Don't know if we're going to have any action from this game overall. No need to waste time on it. Let's keep it moving. Boston and New York today. That's Bueller versus Warren. Side in this game listed at a minus 166, the opening number. That's now as high as close to a minus 200 or higher as a favorite towards Warren. The total in this game listed at 9. The Bronx, 74 degrees today. Light wind blowing in from right field. They burned us yesterday. Needed them to get the 5 runs. They only got the 4. Should have been able to get that here. Walker Bueller is on the mound. If we take a look at Walker Bueller over the past 30 days, he's 21st out of 29th on the card today. A 4.85 ERA with a 4.58 xFIP number. Only 13 innings pitched. Grisham, Judge, LeMahieu, Volpe, Bellinger, all high ISO power numbers and or weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching. And Bueller has struggled over the past 30 days. Am I in love with that? No. But there could be some options tonight for the New York Yankees. You don't want to shy away because they didn't hit 5 runs last night, which they should have, and maybe you come back for more. Will Warren on the opposite side. How about a top 5 pitcher on the card today was his xFIP. His ERA high at 4.63, but his xFIP, guys, 2.53. He's striking guys out. He's not offering free walks. Look at the last 30 days, 101 batters he's faced. The ISO against, 089. The weighted on base percentage against, 284. Tremendous. There are some good batters again in the lineup for Boston tonight, but not looking to fade. It's a shame. Good hitting conditions in the Bronx. Probably won't be able to use that. Here's an interesting one that I talked about on the early line today. It's Detroit and Chicago in Detroit. Tarik Skubal's on the mound today. We really don't want to mess with him all too much. They're about a minus 190 favorite across the board, close to 200. We're talking about Detroit. Ben Brown on the opposite side as the starting pitcher for Chicago. Keep in mind this total opened up at 7, still sits at 7. In Detroit, it's a true pitcher's ballpark. We know this. 71-degree temperatures, light wind blowing out to left field. But look at the statistics here. Skubal's the best xFIP pitcher on the card today with a sparkling 1.70 xFIP number. His ERA, low at 2.31. But get this. Ben Brown, 25 and a third innings pitched over the past month. You know his ERA, guys? It's 6.75. You say, wait a second. This might be one of the easiest games you can ever bet. I don't care if it's minus 200. And maybe Skubal and Detroit run away with this. But do you know who's third overall in xFIP in today's card? It's Ben Brown. So we had the Bailey Falters at a 0.63 ERA over the past month and almost a 5 xFIP. Now you have the role reversal. You have Ben Brown with a super high ERA, but a really good elite xFIP number. Who do you trust here? And Ben Brown does give it up a bit to left-handed batters. Now he's a strikeout guy, though. Ben Brown struck out 35% of the lefties that he's faced over his past 43 batters over the past month. On the season, 111 left-hand batters, it's a 31% K rate. It's really good. You know the lefties in the lineup that could be able to do damage today. Parker Meadows, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, right? Some of those guys. It's hard to manage, though, because the one thing I do know is I love that Cubs lineup. I don't love them against Tarik Skubal. I don't love anybody against Tarik Skubal. But this is one of those where sometimes you have to dig deep and say, am I making the right decision? Because the odds makers are telling you, Skubal probably is going to be dominant today. But you need two pitchers to be, you know, out there with a nice little tango to get under 7 runs. Because if Skubal's fantastic, what does that mean in layman's terms? 6 innings, 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, that's a really good start. So Ben Brown's probably going to have to return fire on the opposite side for 3 or less over those to keep you on that 7 plane once you get into the bullpen if you need them. This is a tough one because I would love to go. Like if you said, Donnie, you have to give me 2 batters in that lineup for the Tigers today that I want to take. Not saying I'm taking it, but if I had to pick, it's Riley Green and it's Kerry Carpenter. But hear me out as well. I just told you Ben Brown strikes out left-handed batters. And also Riley Green and Kerry Carpenter against right-handed pitching. Riley Green strikes out 33.8% of the time over the past month. Kerry Carpenter, 25.8%. So the RBI prop, as we know, is, boy, you'd love to get guys on second base and third base with under 1 out. But can you drive them home? Because if you don't put the ball in play, you ain't scoring any RBIs or scoring any runs at that point either. That's a tough one to try to differentiate and sort of signal. Next game up, which we'll start and get to it in the next segment, that's Cleveland and that's Houston. And that's going to be Colton Gordon going up against Logan Allen. I think we might have some success in this one. Side, minus 126 now is the favorite towards Houston, which opened up as a favorite towards Cleveland. Total 8.5s across the board. Weather conditions, not great, but not terrible. In Cleveland, 67 degrees with a light wind blowing in. Low K rates for a lot of guys here on the Houston Astros, and certainly not a K pitcher in Logan Allen. K Can we find some home runs? Can Isak Paredes stay healthy today? And what I mean by healthy is knocking baseballs into the seats. We'll get to that next as we close it down right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, guys, we're going to be involved in it some way, somehow, on the Houston Astros. Maybe it's a team total. Maybe it's just a couple RBI props. Good to see Altuve back in the green for us here. That's waking up to his 2025 season. Yainer Diaz, Isak Paredes, Jeremy Pena. A lot of really good batters in that lineup with low K rates going up against Logan Allen today. Maybe that's a point that we can use. Flip it over to the other side. Colton Gordon. I mean, not a lot going out at this point on him. 11th on the card, a high ERA. 19 and two-thirds innings pitched over his four starts over the past month. Maybe we get it over in this game, but the numbers don't really check out all that well for the Cleveland Guardians and lefties, particularly over the past 30 days. Arizona and Cincinnati, Eduardo Rodriguez, very limited innings here over the past month. Two starts, got lit up in those two starts, 6 2/3 innings pitched, an ERA close to 14, and an xFIP of 6.27. Here's the issue again. Left-handers have really damaged up those Cincinnati Reds. That total in this game is what? Where is that Cincinnati number? Cincy. And why isn't it showing up here on my card? Did I hit the wrong button? Where are you at, Cincinnati? I know I see Arizona as a short dog here, but why am I not getting... There it is, Rodriguez and Lodolo. Excuse me, two lefties. Roughly a pick 'em on the card, 9.5 as a total, up from 9. 76-degree weather in Cincinnati with the wind blowing out the center field. That's usually a sign of the good times here. Tyler Stevenson's gotten good numbers. Jose Trevino's got good numbers. The rest of that lineup doesn't look all that great. Flip it over to Nick Lodolo. If we look at his numbers over the past 30 days, I think they were pretty good up until maybe a start or two. He's 7th on the card today. 2.86 ERA, 3.35 xFIP number, 28 1/3 innings pitched. 5 starts over the past month, 1-1 in those 5 starts. The one thing that's interesting is Lodolo has been dealing. What did he do in his last start? I got to check this out right here. So I want to say that he got tuned up a bit. I could be wrong, though. Let's go to game log for him. No, he didn't. 6 innings pitched, no earned runs. Before that, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. So he really didn't. He got dinged up a month ago in May. This guy's coming in pretty hot at this point, but here's the thing. The Arizona Diamondbacks, one of the best lineups in Major League Baseball at hitting left-handed pitchers. 7 of the 9 guys, elevated weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers. That should be one to watch. I don't know if we'll be involved in that, but just an interesting one nonetheless. Kansas City and Chicago, Seth Lugo's on the mound. Going up against that White Sox lineup, Davis Martin on the opposite side. Where's Lugo and Martin here? Lugo, let's just see whoever comes up first. Martin or Lugo? Martin's 17th on the card today. Seth Lugo is 12th on the card today. Seth Lugo, by the way, a 6.75 ERA over the past month, but that past month is only 9 1/3 innings pitched. 67-degree temperatures in Chicago today. Not really a crosswind, so not really too much to worry about. Randy Vasquez on the mound today. How about that, people? And by the way, I guess because we had Christian Yelich in the lineup a little bit earlier, but I guess hitting the refresh button here, Yelich, not listed in the lineup. Oh, there he is. Third. Oh, they moved him down. I don't know why they did that. All out of whack here. But Yelich would be my only RBI prop that I'd look for in that San Diego game with the Milwaukee Brewers. Chad Patrick on the other side, not a great game, but probably Christian Yelich the best way to do it. Toronto, here's one I wanted to look at. I'm glad we're getting to this point in the show. Bailey Ober, as I talked about, 23 1/3 innings pitched through his 5 starts over the past month. An ERA that's low at 3.09, but an xFIP number over 5. Toronto is waking up at the plate. 69-degree temperatures in Minnesota, which isn't bad. Wind is blowing in from right field, but only 3 miles per hour. Guerrero, Springer, Kirk, Lukes, Bichette, Barger, Jimenez. I mean, just about the entire lineup looks absolutely spectacular against right-handed pitching. Toronto, in some way, shape, or form, guys, will be on the card tonight. Dodgers in St. Louis. I think St. Louis probably wins that game. Sonny Gray's the better pitcher. He's been phenomenal. He's number 2 on my card today with a 2.30 xFIP number. Colorado and New York. New York is going to be on our card tonight. Multiple RBI chances. They should bomb Senzatella. The only thing I don't like is it's 60-degree temperatures tonight with a light wind blowing in. So you know those numbers are going to be expensive on the RBI props and or a team total if you're looking that way. Bryce Miller is on the mound today for Seattle. Only 9 innings pitched, a heavy ERA, and a high xFIP number. Chanwell, Trout, Ward, Adele. might be on the card tonight. Late night action. Kyle Hendricks on the mound. The big dumper out here. Cal Raleigh, that's probably who you want to talk about getting an RBI price tonight. Why? Because Kyle Hendricks gets lumped up by lefties. Cal Raleigh's a switch hitter. He'll be batting from the left-hand side. He should be able to do some damage. Dean Kramer's on the mound tonight in one of our favorite ballparks that just keeps on giving up runs. And J.P. Sears, here's the issue. Sears stinks, but so does that entire lineup for the Baltimore Orioles. Can they bust out against Sears tonight and provide a victory? We'll find out sooner than later. All right, boys. That'll do it for the week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday. Chris Brown, the Wheels of Steel, with your boy Donnie Right Side. See you later.